been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the midweek edition on this May the 4th Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. And yeah, the market's kind of swinging all over the place right now. It's been down, it's been up. It's been mostly up. Now it's down. The Dow is up 30 right now at 33,157. But the NASDAQ has all of a sudden taken a turn for the worse. Not sure why. Down 112. I thought it was looking pretty good this morning. I thought AMD had a really good report after the close last night. But it's hard to impress those tech investors right now, it would seem. Okay, and we've got the S&P is down 8 right now to 4167. Maybe there's a little bit of fear of a 75-point rate hike today, basis point. I don't think we'll see that, but who knows what's going on there underneath the surface. The Russell 2000 is flat. Crude oil up $3.74. It's clear up to 106.15. We'll get to that in a bit. There's a reason for that. We've got gold down 740 to 1863. Dollar remains strong. Silver down 43 cents. And I think I just found the reason why the tech NASDAQ just went negative.
You looked at interest rates, huh?
It's up 4 basis points, and we're at a flat even 3%.
Yep.
It's been a long time since we've seen 3%. And that is sending the high P.E. stocks south because they react the most in the negative fashion to rising interest rates. And we're up 4 basis points today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Before I get to today's action, I got to mention yesterday's action. Wow, what a day for the oil and gas stocks yesterday. By the end of the day, Devon Energy was up over 10%. That's a big move for a large cap stock like that. And the fertilizer stocks, Nutrien and Mosaic, and CF Industries also had huge days yesterday. They were just absolutely sizzling, and we had a huge day yesterday also. The NASDAQ, you know, was at least stable. It was up 27 points. It hit a 13-month low on Monday. That's what these rising interest rates have done to the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is currently down today. It was up. AMD had a good report after the close, which we'll get to here in a bit. In fact, there are several bellwether stocks that have reported earnings today and or yesterday after the close and this morning before the open that should give us a pretty big, a good feel for where the economy is at the current time. And yesterday's surge in the oil stocks, it wasn't just Devon Energy, BP. They had just a blowout number. They routed their earnings estimates, and it seemed like they were all announcing buyback plans, beefing up their buyback plans, increasing their dividends, which is all bullish for those stocks. So that was yesterday. Now today, Barry, is it 2 p.m.? Is that when we should fasten our seatbelts and take the Tylenol?
Yeah. Yeah, get buckled in, you know, before 2 p.m. Eastern. So they'll, you know, I think the announcement comes at 2 p.m. Eastern, and then of course we've got Powell's press conference at 2:30 Eastern. That's always kind of the market moving piece because I feel like over the years, usually when he talks, the market goes down. So
yeah, he doesn't have a very good record. He should have someone else talk.
Yeah, he got a little bit better. You know, he was pretty awful at it early on. And to his credit, you know, this whole press conference thing for a Fed chairman, is still relatively new. I mean, you know, Greenspan was never up there answering questions from anyone.
Not at all. I mean, they're way more transparent today than ever before.
Yeah, I mean, all we knew from him, right, was how big his briefcase, the thick briefcase or whatever, when he would walk across the street to the building. But yeah, so that, you know, usually he's gotten a bit better at the press conference, but you still never know what you're going to get. Put it that way.
No, so well, here's what's expected: a 50 basis point Fed fund rate hike. And we're seeing the 10-year Treasury hit 3% right now. It's up 4 basis points in advance of that announcement. But the market will be listening for details on quantitative tightening. Okay, not QE. We've got a new term now, quantitative tightening, QT,
yeah,
which ain't so cute. This means instead of, well, you know, they're not really, they're just they're not buying as much.
Yeah, buying less is really
buying less is a better way to put that. But it is opposite of what they were doing before. And also, like you just said, they'll be listening for Jay Powell's tone of voice. Boy, we're going to have some speech analysts and body language people looking at it.
Some biometrics, right? When
now,
we need to bring the Moneyball guy out, and maybe we'll get some cybermetrics in here and all kinds of stuff.
The irony of all of this is that the economy seems to be headed towards, it's shrinking right now. It's not growing like it was. The economy seems to be softening a bit. We're going to go through a lot of earnings reports today that will give us some idea of different industries, different sectors, leisure sector, other sectors, how they're doing, the computer sector. But we did just have a negative quarter of GDP. So it's a very unusual situation to have the Fed hiking into kind of a slowing economy. But at the same time, they're more concerned with inflation right now than they are with a slowing economy. And if you remember back in 1982, we had the Fed chairman, Paul Volcker, actually put the economy into a recession intentionally to cool down inflation. Now, I don't know if inflation is that bad, is as bad as it was back in 1982. We don't seem to be there yet. It doesn't seem to be as persistent as it was and long-lasting yet. There's some thoughts that maybe it's starting to peak. I'm not seeing that yet. And it was Unilever last week, a major food company with boots on the ground all over the world, saying be prepared for unprecedented inflation. So that's the thing that has the Fed's attention. And, you know, I mean, we're so used to, over the last 30 years, it's like there's no inflation at all. It's 1 or 2%. It's negligible. And now all of a sudden, since COVID, we've seemed to have turned the corner. When's the last time the Fed did a 50 basis point rate hike? 22 years ago. That's about, that was when the dot-com.
Yeah, it was Greenspan, actually.
That was 2000, and what did that do? That put the NASDAQ into a tailspin. The NASDAQ in 2000 went down 80%. And that was the irrational exuberance where you had the NASDAQ at 5,300 way back in March of 2000. And Greenspan tried to put a crimp in that irrational exuberance. He did. He put more than a crimp into it. The NASDAQ tanked. Now, it wasn't just the 50 basis point rate hike. There were other factors. The biggest factor was the valuations on the NASDAQ had become so stretched. So, anyways, the market braces for a half-point hike. Yesterday we learned that there were more job openings, a record amount of job. I think there's a record amount of job opening signs on the road, in the windows, everywhere I go. So, you know, if the NASDAQ, if the market tanks, I've been, you know, I can get a job at Dunkin' Donuts. I saw is hiring Melvin's Barbecue. I know how to smoke a brisket if things go south here. I'm just kidding. The ADP jobs gain of 247,000, way short of estimates. But that's always one. It's the Friday one, okay? As if Wednesday's not bad enough today with the seatbelts and the Tums and everything. Friday we get the jobs report. So fasten your seatbelts. We've got a wild couple of days here in the market ahead. And we'll be right back, and we'll take a little taste of the economy right now, how it's doing. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show on a day when we expect the hammer to come down. 50 basis points right on the head of the market there. Bam. And right now the 10-year is right around 3%. And, you know, if we were to get 75, I don't expect that. I think they would have signaled that. They seem to be pretty transparent these days. I think they would have at least warned the market. There was some talk of it a few weeks back, but I haven't heard anything since. Now, why is oil up right now? Oil is up, where did that go? Oil was up $4 per barrel, $3.74 per barrel to $106.15.
It was up to 109.5 earlier this morning.
Yeah, that was because the EU announced a ban on Russian oil. So that's going to make the scramble, they're scrambling to find a replacement for Russian oil. Now, it's not going to be overnight. It's going to be a phase-out of crude oil imports within 6 months. You know, Russia could really make things tough if they were to just say, well, fine, we'll just shut it off today. Because they're counting on a six-month phase-out of crude oil imports and refined products by the end of the year. So that's still 7 months away. Brent oil futures went as high as 109 barrels on the news, while West Texas crude futures were at about $106 per barrel right now. So it's not going to be easy to find a replacement for this oil. And I'm seeing UNG, which is natural gas, the ETF UNG is up 7.9%. In fact, it hit $8, I think, this morning for the first time in a long time. It's up 6.8% right now.
Yeah, it's sitting at 8.35 natural gas at the moment on the current contract.
So. I haven't seen it. I remember when it was 4 not that long ago. So natural gas continues to climb, and that shows up in the folks, especially in Europe, in their utility bills, which we haven't heard about lately. They were having riots there over utility bills back in the winter. Okay, AMD. That's crazy. AMD was up 7% this morning. They blew it out of the park. They absolutely knocked the ball out of the park. The stock is currently up 2.5%. It's all over the place. But, you know, there was talk of a slowdown in the PC, the computer sector, people not buying PCs. Well, check these numbers out. AMD's revenues were up 71% year over year. And they did $5.9 billion in revenues versus $3.4 billion last year. That translates to a 71% growth in revenues. Their earnings, just $1.13 versus 52 cents last year, which is 117%. Now, you know that I like companies that are flourishing, and we recently, we got back into AMD. I felt like maybe the NASDAQ, I like the risk-to-reward ratio in the NASDAQ down here at this level. And if you're going to buy one, you may as well buy one of the best, and I still consider AMD to be one of the best. For the full year 2022, AMD now expects revenue to be approximately $26 billion versus $25.4 consensus. So they also revised higher their earnings forecast. And AMD CEO Lisa Su says the chip maker has reached a significant inflection point. Now that they've completed their acquisition of Xilinx and they plan to acquire Pensando, the chipmaker has reached a significant inflection point in its technological transformation. She says that the addition of Xilinx cannot be overstated. It significantly expands our product and technology portfolio. Well, you know, Barry, here's a good example. Within a sector, the semiconductor sector, there's a lot of laggards. Intel has been a laggard now. It used to be the leader in the sector for many years. And AMD was a distant second or third or fourth. And now it's just the other way around. AMD has become the de facto leader along with NVIDIA. And basically, those are the two really driving things in the semiconductor industry, and innovation and speed, greater capacity, better graphics, faster graphics, keeping up with the gamers, I suppose,
right. Yep.
Virtual reality.
They use their chips in the new PlayStation 5 and the new Xbox, and so they've got a good hold on some of, they call that, that's kind of the, what they refer to as the semi-custom sector. But yeah, they've, you know, that industry for a while, you know, was very, got big, really became commoditized. With the exception of Intel, and really NVIDIA and AMD have kind of, you know, stepped up their technological prowess. And then, you know, your other names, chip names, are still, you know, a bit commoditized to a certain extent. But, you know, these are, you know, NVIDIA, AMD are kind of the ones with the Nike symbol on it at this point, right?
Yep.
In terms of branding. So.
Now, the other thing here that I noticed here that jumps off the page to me, okay, they beat their estimates by a wide margin, but analysts cut their price targets. Now, why would that be? Okay, they come in, they beat earnings, they raise their guidance. Well, the analysts are lowering their multiple, and this goes along with what we've been telling you. It's not the earnings that we're worried about for a lot of these companies in the S&P 500. It's the multiple that's been shrinking. And the reason that the multiple's been shrinking will be amplified later today when the Fed raises rates by 50 basis points, more than likely, for the first time in 22 years, doing a 50 basis point hike. And you see the 10-year at 3%, and if you're doing a discounted cash flow valuation on a stock, those stocks, you know, using those interest rates that are the prevailing interest rate of today, that shrinks the multiple down. So here you've got Mizuho. Let's just use Mizuho. They lowered the per share price target to 145 from 160. So they lowered it $15, not because the earnings went down. The earnings went up, but they're shrinking their multiple even more. They're looking at that interest rate out there, and it goes along with what we've been telling you, that the higher the multiple, the more vulnerable the stock. Now, AMD currently has a PE of 27 Barry. That's the lowest I've seen it in a long time. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I would just say the market is without direction right now. It was up and then down, up and then down. It's currently down. The Dow is down 27. The NASDAQ is down 156 as interest rates are rising in advance of today's Fed decision. We were talking about AMD before we went to break. For the first time that I can remember, AMD's forward PE is under 20. It looks to me like with the new earnings estimate likely to be around $5 per share, somewhere in there, and the stock trading at 93, that forward PE is around 18 or 19. That's the cheapest I've seen AMD in a long time. That doesn't guarantee it's going to go up. I'm just saying that it's not as vulnerable as other stocks out there that have much, much higher P.E. ratios than that. And its estimated growth rate over the next 5 years is almost 30% per year. And it just turned in, that's earnings growth. It just turned in 119% for this most recent quarter. So you've got a stock that's trading at 19 times forward earnings, and a growth rate estimated at 30%, so it's also trading at a huge discount to its growth rate. All right, so
yeah, check out Lyft if you want to go in the other direction. Have you seen Lyft today?
Yeah, Lyft is getting it needs a lift.
Yeah, it definitely needs a lift.
That thing's down 35% today. L-Y-F-T, and it's one of the stocks here, I think, that I've got coming up in my... Yeah, because we're going to take a little scan now across several industries. First, we'll go to Nutrien. They weigh more potash production increases as the sanctions on Russia are hitting the supplies. But the problem is, it can't happen overnight. It's a couple of years to build up that production. And Mosaic said it's exploring de-bottlenecking initiatives at its mills to ramp up fertilizer production as quickly as possible, which could boost its potash output by 1.5 million tons by the end of 2023. The timeline for increases would be a few years, not decades. But even, you know, at the... And this is going to drive food prices higher. This is part of the inflation picture out there right now. Okay, so let's take a look at various industries. Marriott. Let's go to Marriott first. They say robust demand. Okay, so people are wanting to travel again. Marriott stock is up 2.2%. They own 7,642 lodging properties with 1.4 million rooms in 133 countries. And I've stayed in many of their rooms across the country and in Mexico during my lifetime. Now, a second witness to this demand for leisure and travel is Airbnb. Airbnb said that they saw, I guess I didn't write that one, but they saw tremendous demand for vacation homes, and that stock, which is, well, Airbnb is 75 times forward earnings, 75 times forward earnings. Its PE is 125. That's just too rich for me in this market. Airbnb, despite these big numbers, their sales were up 70%. The stock is up, well, it's up 3.2%. And then the third one, as far as the traveler, the consumer, the vacationer, Cedar Fair points to strong demand for season passes. you know, after being locked in their house for, after being locked in our houses, we're ready to go out and have some fun at Cedar Fair. The symbol is fun. It's a limited partnership, so you'd have to file one of those K9 returns. You don't want to be doing that. But the stock's up 2.2% today. Now, Lyft stock plunges on disappointing Q2 outlook. Now, here's a case, Barry, where you've got these disruptive technologies, really. I mean, to be able to go onto your iPhone or your Android, your mobile device, pay in advance, see exactly where the driver is, get a quote for taking you to your destination, showing you the driver what you look like, you see what the driver, I mean, it's pretty fantastic technology compared to standing out in the street and trying to wave down a cab.
Right.
That was what I grew up with, and now you've got this tremendous technology. But for some reason, they can't figure out how to make money, how to make it profitable. Now, Uber is kind of the leader in the industry. They have never made any money, just here and there a little bit through extraordinary things. Uber's down 11.7% today. In sympathy with Lyft, Uber was a $64 stock. Now it's a $26 stock. And Lyft was a $88 stock, and now it's $20. And it's just getting clobbered today, down 35%. This is the disaster of the week. You know, we've had several disasters this earnings season. There always are. Netflix would stand out as a disaster.
Yeah, probably the biggest one, at least dollar-wise, this quarter.
Yes, Teladoc was a disaster. That hurt Kathy Wood. That put her down to a new low 3 or 4 days ago. And Lyft is definitely one of the big disasters here. And what are they blaming it on? Okay, let's see. They can't blame COVID anymore.
Well, they've got gas prices. Obviously, they're cutting into their driver's income. I think at one point they were, I know one of them, I think, put a fuel surcharge there. I can't remember which one did, if it was either Uber or Lyft. But, you know, the cost, I mean, I was you know, Ubering from dropping my car off, you know, to get an oil change and a tune-up, and you know, and the cost, like, to, you know, the cost for an Uber just to go right down the street nowadays is you know, is much more expensive than it was initially. So it's, you know, they're getting it from both ways. Probably their drivers are complaining, and their customers are probably complaining. And, you know, as gas prices you know, are averaging what I think like around $4.20 a gallon in the U.S. at this point. So
I'd hate to hail a Uber in Los Angeles or San Francisco right now. And they're having a hard time attracting drivers. Now, there was a time when, you know, everybody, a lot of people wanted to drive Uber to make a little extra money or do it full time. But now they're going to have to spend more heavily to attract drivers. And everywhere I look, there seems to be a continued shortage of workers, people having a hard time finding workers in almost every industry. I don't care if it's the hotel industry, the restaurant industry, construction, landscaping, you name it, painters. There's just a shortage. Okay, now the other one that we should definitely mention here, because they are definitely a bellwether. If you've ever eaten at a Chili's Grill and Bar or Maggiano's Little Italy, Brinker was battered by increasing cost. And that goes along with what Unilever said about unprecedented inflation. Brinker is down 15.5%. They own 1,648 Chili's and Maggiano restaurants in 27 countries, and that stock is getting pummeled today. After reporting margins squeezed by inflation and labor cost. So, you know, I mean, they've either got to put less, put less on the hamburgers, cut down on the size. They got to do all kinds of things, you know, to try to control the cost, or they've got to raise prices and pass the cost along to the customers. So that's a big problem there. Okay, then one other one, you know, it's pretty obvious that Moderna, they benefited from the vaccine. The stock got up to 497. It was the quickest trip into the S&P 500 I've ever seen. And now it's 144. From 497 to 144. Maybe they'll kick them out of the S&P 500. That has not been a very good stock since the end of COVID lockdowns and restrictions and all the push to get vaccines, etc. Okay, well, we'll be right back with some stocks jumping off the page today. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And there's a lot of stocks here jumping off the screen here for me. A lot of them continue to be in the energy patch. What can I say? That is just an indication of how strong the oil and gas stocks are this year. One of them is a stock that we own, which is the big Norwegian energy oil and gas company, which you would think they would turn to Norway, say, hey, you know, we're going to go off of Russian oil and gas. We need you to turn up the spigot a little bit over there, Norway. Equinor, EQNR, is up 2% today. It's a Norwegian company engaged in exploration, production of oil and gas, and refining, marketing of petroleum products. It's got a P.E. ratio of 8 and a relative strength of 97. Okay, there's that combination that's been pretty favorable this year. High relative strength, low P.E. stocks. It also pays a dividend yield of 1.6%. The biggest problem Equinor has is the European Union and the restrictions and the hoops that they have to jump through to drill, to get permits, to get OKs. I know they're doing that big project over in Canada up near Halifax, way up in the north of Canada there. That got approved. We currently own Equinor, EQNR, because of the problems in Europe and because of the need to find a substitute for Russian gas and oil. But they've got a lot of regulatory hurdles that they have to fight through. Now, listen to they reported earnings yesterday. Their sales were up 107%, and their earnings were up 300%. So that's, you know, like I say, I like stocks that are flourishing. I like companies that are flourishing, and they're sitting in kind of a garden spot right now, kind of laughing at Russia, losing their big customer in the European Union. And I'm sure a lot of that business is going to go to Equinor. It must be going there already, because you're seeing this huge spike in earnings, this huge spike in sales. So EQNR definitely jumps off the page at me today. It should be up more, but the market's a little squishy today in front of this Fed meeting here later today. Another one that I've mentioned before is this Farmland Partners, FPI, which is a REIT, but it's a farm REIT. And if you're going to have this shortage of food and, you know, crop prices are high, farmland goes up in price. And farmland reported a beautiful quarter. Their sales were up 20% and their earnings were up 180%. They pay a dividend yield of 1.3%, and they continue little by little. They continue to buy up farmland across America. That stock is up 4.2%. They hold high-quality row crop farms with 160,000 acres in 16 states. Of the United States. Now, I remember not too long ago when the farmer couldn't make any money and the farmland prices were greatly depressed. But now, all of a sudden, there seems to be a return to that's prime land. That's premium land. If you can grow corn and wheat and soybeans and other crops there, the prices have been going up. And the demand for farmland has also been going up. And then the third one, let's not forget lithium. All these different things, Barry, that, you know, a few years ago, several years ago, I don't know what they used lithium for before the EV battery came along. Yeah. Look at Livent.
Yeah, just the pink bunny. Remember the pink bunny bouncing around?
The Energizer bunny.
That was really the only when they came out with the lithium battery for that. That's kind
yeah,
of
what, I guess I mean, that was.
All, that's
yes,
all I can really think of.
I
really.
Guess they thought of its conductivity, its lightweight, and we started making little batteries out of lithium
right.
ion. And I know it's in some drugs too, lithium.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
correct.
I know some people that took lithium to help them with different things. But Livent, L-I-V, I think this is the North Carolina one. Let's see. Is this the one in North Carolina? Philadelphia. But I think their mines are in North Carolina for lithium. They produce lithium compounds for use in applications that have specific performance requirements. Okay, their sales for the quarter up 56% year over year, and their earnings up 950%. So if you're a can slim momentum kind of person that loves those exploding current earnings, those exploding sales, and all of a sudden their product is in high demand, you know, I just gave you three here that all meet that criteria. It's just funny that the momentum stocks and these canned slim type stocks right now are refining companies, they're natural gas companies, they're fertilizer companies. It's a whole new crop of leaders out there in the market in 2022. Okay, well, I've got to buckle my seatbelt. I'm going to put my neck brace on, get the Tums ready and all this and that, aspirin, whatever the Fed will be announcing today. And it will be that, what they say afterwards. You're going to see, usually afterwards, you can see a massive drop in the market, and then you can see it come back, and then another massive drop. You just don't know. I mean, it can be all over the place later today, so we'll be back tomorrow and kind of sum up things. There will be a lot more earnings coming in after the close tonight. I'm already starting to think about this week's newsletter. You can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. And if you like what you hear, give us a call. Maybe we can help you. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.